This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
So though we are in danger, we never despair, 'cause we know that where there's danger, he is there.
He is there on the land, on the sea, in the air. We're not worrying at all, we're just listening for his call.
I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
Oh, yeah, Mighty Mouse. Boy, do we need Mighty Mouse today to save the day for us. Well, in his stead, I am here. Here I come to save the day. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you. We thank you very much for joining us. It is Wednesday, April the 19th. Did you pay your taxes yesterday? Or did you file yesterday? If you did not, stay in your house and wait. Keep away from opening the front door. The feds may be there soon. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about artificial intelligence. Boy, that's a big topic these days. Everybody's talking about it all of a sudden. And we're going to talk about the efforts by Congress to regulate artificial intelligence. Is that a good idea? Will it make any difference, good or bad? Stay tuned for that. And Fox News, did you hear about this? They have paid Dominion Voting Systems almost $800 million to avoid a trial. We are going to take a look and discuss whether or not they should have done that. So stay tuned for that. And President Biden vows to veto a bill that keeps transgenders out of women's sports. Here's the question. Should the federal government even get involved in an issue like that? We're going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 U.S. cities with the most millionaires. Yeah. Don't you want to know? Stay tuned towards the end of the show. So we got a lot of things going on. One thing that seems to be a constant is the pessimism about our economy. Amid persistent inflation, high interest rates, or we should say higher interest rates, and recession worries, Americans have never been more negative about the economy. Now, this is a CNBC All America Economic Survey. And it says a record 69% of the public holds negative views about the economy, both now and in the future. That is the highest in its history of 17 years of doing this survey. The survey had 1,000 people nationwide. They claim the margin of error around 3% either way, found that about two-thirds of Americans say their wages are falling behind inflation, and two-thirds say the nation is headed for a recession, or we are already in one. Boy, things have been really bleak when it comes to money and the economy, has it not? Ever since Biden got in, seems to me, really negative. I wonder if it's going to make any difference. Are the yokels going to reelect that guy if he runs again, no matter what? That's what I wonder. Anyway, apparently the fallout from these views is hitting Biden's approval rating. His overall rating fell 2%. He's down to 39%. And his disapproval rating is up to 55%. So, you know, people seem to disapprove. I'd vote for a blind turkey if it was running against Biden. I think we would be better off.
You know, it's ironic you bring that up. And we thought of an analogy yesterday. We were sitting around talking.
Yeah.
Joe Biden. I want to go up to a person that voted for Joe Biden. Let's say you did, just for,
sure,
for giggles. You voted for Joe Biden, and if Paul Molloy had a coffee shop, would you hire Joe Biden to be your head cashier?
No.
Would you put him out front?
Well, I might put him out.
No. I'm talking about the cashier out front. Not behind the counter. Out front. Lead cashier.
I don't think so.
This is the President of the United States. Now, maybe a greeter at the front door?
You would be a bad example.
A greeter at the front door? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know what? He might not be a bad greeter at the front door because people would feel sorry for him. And maybe come in and have a couple of coffee.
Well, maybe make more sales, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But no, I wouldn't get him anywhere.
But imagine that.
I wouldn't get him anywhere near the cash register.
No. That says something about that.
It does. Mm. Yeah. No, things are bad all over. I don't know that we need to continue to talk about it, but this, basically the survey says that people are very pessimistic about what is going on. And as I said, I just wonder, you know, if they're so pessimistic about Biden, and they should be. I mean, the guy can barely get up in front of you. In fact, he rarely does.
And it doesn't stop there.
He rarely does. But when he does, he makes no sense. If you allow him to continue to talk for any length of time.
And it doesn't stop there. I mean, the press secretary, I what's her name?
Yeah.
John Paul Jones, I don't know what her name is. I don't really care. But I know that, listen, I know that job is difficult, but
it
I
is
mean,
difficult, yes.
99% of the time, she's reading out of that damn book anyway.
Yes.
I mean, it's just awful.
Yeah, in a
you
way,
know it's already a program response. So just hand out the book and let the press look at it and look up their questions and leave.
I know. It should
be that
way.
Time.
In a way, you feel sorry for all the spokespeople that have to show up and, you know, make excuses for Biden. He doesn't have the backbone to show up and answer any questions. And even if he did, it would be a complete, you know, it would be a complete shipwreck probably.
Well, this just in, he's not getting any younger.
He's not getting any younger, and he's certainly not getting any more intelligent. Here's something that, before we go to break, I wanted to talk about. Now they are, pretty much everybody is on board with the fact that the COVID virus started in a lab.
Huh.
In China, finally, despite what's his head.
There was a former U.S. president that came out and said that, and they said he was being racist.
I know.
What was his name? I have to tune in tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
It rhymes with Trump.
Oh, Trump. That's it.
Rhymes with Trump.
That guy, Trump.
Republicans have made investigating the origins of the coronavirus pandemic a top priority after garnering control of the House and making strides in the Senate. But a recent report from a Kansas Republican senator has uncovered stunning developments. After more than 2 years of research, he revealed that a preponderance of evidence points to two lab leaks in China as the cause of the global pandemic. He says, this is big. It is a bombshell that the preponderance of evidence shows that there were two lab leaks. If we had a scale in front of us and we put all the evidence on one side that supports a natural spillover, the other for the lab origin, I think that 95% of that evidence is on the lab origin. This guy's name is Roger Marshall from Kansas. So he released his findings on Monday, detailing how what he calls the two unintentional leaks spiraled into one of the most devastating events in recent history. He said the first one occurred probably around September in a Wuhan lab, an unintentional leak in 2019. The Chinese then began vaccine research, and we think that is when the epidemic, which became a pandemic, actually exploded. Most likely, they were developing this vaccine in the lab in the Wuhan University and working on primates. Primates, which would be like monkeys.
Right.
Yeah. We think that is when some type of an aerosol was accidentally released from the lab, or a lab worker walked out with this very, very contagious virus. Do you remember one of the lab people at Wuhan Lab died very early. I remember mm-hmm. it died of that of the virus, mm-hmm. which to me, if it was a Wuhan lab worker that died of that virus, it certainly indicates it may have come from the lab. Anyway.
Wasn't that Dr. Fauci's favorite hangout?
Yes, it was. Good old Dr. Fauci. I wonder if we're going to see much more of him.
So what was China's
response? Is he going to pop up much more now that all this is going on? I got a hunch he's not.
What was China's response? Yes, so?
China's response was, don't you go talking about this. We're very upset. Yeah, in other words, you know, they're not going to let us in to confirm one way or the other, but how dare you bring it up? Anyway, from lab leak to artificial intelligence, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we'll discuss that topic with Jessica Malugin.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dawn with Sunkissed Charters. Come and sail with us on a 37-foot Endeavor out in the Gulf of Mexico. Up to six people, $100 an hour, three-hour minimum. You can split it between each other. Pet-friendly, bring your own food, drinks, restrooms on board. Make it a memory maker. Call 727-871-7788 or call 727-315-4936. SunkissedCharters.com. We'll see you out at the Gulf of Mexico.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday on Freedom Works, and we thank you very much for being with us. Before we get and have Jessica Malugin from the Competitive Enterprise Institute join us, I wanted to preface her discussion with us. A couple of people talking about our artificial intelligence. This is Ted Lieu. He is a California Democrat. He says, artificial intelligence, he calls it AI, has the potential to both benefit and harm the U.S. He says, but Congress has hardly any expertise on the rapidly developing technology. He basically wants them to keep hands off. And then we have Elon Musk, who, you know, a lot of people think is pretty intelligent when it comes to this stuff. He's the CEO of Twitter. He's a billionaire, and he's all into rocket science and satellites and everything. He said that AI will likely have a significant influence on future elections, and he called on the U.S. government to establish some kind of oversight to sensibly regulate the rapidly emerging technology. I mean, it's almost like we're awaiting a horror movie, you know, with artificial intelligence. I can't think of a better person to talk to soothe my nerves about this than Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. Jessica, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you. And I mean, this whole deal of artificial intelligence in Congress, and I guess Chuck Schumer wants to become involved in some way. He's the Senate Majority Leader, a Democrat, to start regulating artificial intelligence. A, is it a good idea? B, could, even if it's a good or a bad idea, what the heck can they regulate?
Good question.
Yes.
Some things never change, right? If you're skeptical of regulations in general, I urge you to be skeptical of regulating artificial intelligence.
There you go.
Yeah. So you do see all these calls for regulation, you know, mostly because I think it's gotten so popular lately. Everybody's playing with the chat GPT. We're talking about it a lot. Elon Musk, the center of the media universe, is talking about it. So I think there's a little bit of fear of missing out on the part of Congress. They want to make sure they get their little filthy paws on it, too. And frankly, the way that they're talking, even in these preliminary ways, about regulating it, it's just sort of more of the micromanaging stuff you'd expect from Washington. Because I think people, when they hear about AI and their concern is, oh my gosh, you know, smart people like Elon Musk are saying this could take over elections. So, you know, there's things you can do about those sorts of concerns for general AI, which is the kind that can learn and get intelligent and is sort of broadly tasked with being AI. You know, you can put a kill switch on that. You can put a safe word on that. You can unplug it. I mean, we are human beings. We will stay in control of this. But the kind of thing that Washington's talking about meddling in is sort of these narrow applications of AI, like the chat bot, because they're worried it has bias in it. Of course it has bias in it. It's made by human beings. We all have bias. This is part of being alive on planet Earth. But, you know, I would just urge everyone, if you're skeptical of this kind of stuff in other industries, remain skeptical about it in AI, because it's not about to turn into a robot that has laser eyes that's trying to come and hurt your family. We're just not at the point where we can really worry about that being a possibility. And certainly, we should not turn to Washington any more than we would turn to Washington for any other problem.
I think you're exactly right, and I'm glad to hear you say that we, you know, they're not going to kill us in our sleeps within the next couple of years.
Yeah, if you have some time. You've got some time.
Yeah, we got some time before that occurs. I mean, I remember the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey, where that computer HAL, you know, takes over the spaceship and basically tries to destroy the people that are on board. And then there was one, I think it was called War Games. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of scary. It's where this computer decides to battle with this kid in a thermonuclear war situation. And, you know, so, and of course, we laughed at those things, and but we were impressed with, you know, with the plot. But now people are really worried. And then when you hear Elon Musk, like you mentioned, too, you know, talking about how it can affect voting and elections and everything, then you start to kind of worry about that as well. I suspect maybe what he means, you know, is the bias that would be involved in if it becomes involved in any way with the process.
Yeah, and I would just put forth the uniquely human quality of skepticism as a defense against some of those concerns. Listen, we have all learned the hard way with social media. You shouldn't believe everything you see online. We know that now, and there's risks and downsides, and there's manipulation of media, but that happens, as a current example, on, let's say, cable news as well, right? We all have to remain skeptical and be critical thinkers, and I don't think it will be too much different with AI. But I will tell you, Elon Musk calling for a pause on this technology, incredibly unrealistic, right? Because China's not going to pause on it, so all we'd be doing is falling behind. But the other part of that is, you know, I will just point out gently that if you watch that interview with Elon, he's the first one to say, I'm behind. I'm late to the game. He's going to do it. He's going to start his own, which I think is a fantastic private market solution to bias in AI. Let's get some competing biases going, just like Twitter now gives you that with Facebook. But, you know, he's behind. So it kind of makes sense to call for a pause on everyone else who's ahead of you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's still a businessman. Everyone has their own incentives here. But I just think this is going to be so hugely beneficial to people. It is going to be some churn in the workplace, right? Like all technology, some people's jobs will be displaced. But the fun part about this one is, all the white-collar people, myself included, are the ones that are sweating this, right? Usually we have people who actually have a skill that have to, manual labors and things, who are worried about technology pushing them out. But now it's time to put our money where our mouths is. All this time I've been saying, even if there's churn, even if there's disruption, this is better for society overall. And it's the same thing with AI. This is going to get rid of a lot of mundane tasks at your desk. You can get on to things that are more fulfilling as a human being, right? AI doesn't have empathy. AI can't strategize. Those are things that are going to be irreplaceable about us. So I think overall this is a plus, but of course there's risks and dangers. But, you know, the fact that someone wrote the movie about HAL shows that those dangers can be anticipated by people. I would hope that, you know, they do include a kill switch or a safe word, and that's something that legislators could talk about, urging them to employ. But micromanaging for bias and these other sort of amorphous things is just more Washington meddling.
I think you put it very well, Jessica. We're talking with Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about the danger or maybe the hope and the promise of artificial intelligence. Jessica seems to be optimistic about what it can do. Jessica, like you said, it can relieve us of a lot of mundane work, artificial intelligence. And, of course, you know, mankind has been striving ever since the dawn of mankind to make things easier in life, finding things that make everything easier, which means, of course, that we have more time on our hands for other things. I would call it leisure time, but maybe if people would take that time, if they don't need to do certain tasks because of AI, if they could take that time and use it to advantage, you know.
Yeah.
But most of the time, let's be honest, most of us just sit back and relax and kind of waste our time. There are some of us that go, my God, I've got time now to do certain things, and they are very creative, and they bring additional benefits to mankind, which usually means that they giving people even more leisure time.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because with every new technological development, there's people who say, oh my gosh, this is it. No one, there's not going to be enough jobs for everyone.
Right.
But it's so funny because we continue to have jobs, right? It's never really come to that. So I would just, nothing new under the sun, right? This hopefully makes everyone's quality of life better, and it improves efficiencies and productivity. It lifts wages. But, you know, I will say this is like a win for the plumbers, right? No matter how smart AI gets, you still need someone to come out and snake your toilet
you
with their hands.
You do, and so, mow your lawn,
yeah,
and fix your roof.
Yes.
Yep, you're right. Somebody, some human being has to do manual labor.
Right, right. So I think it's
going to
shift things for people who, yeah, it's going to shift things for people who work at desks, but that's not the whole world. And I think it'll be mostly for the best. You know, let's get on to the creative part that people usually find much more rewarding than writing their millionth form letter. This is good stuff. So let's not let Washington get in the way of progress and innovation.
Okay, so let's take a look now at China and these other countries that we're kind of afraid of, mainly China these days, I would suspect. And like you said, if we try to pause in our development of artificial intelligence here, they certainly are not going to do it over there. And of course, we worry about what nefarious things they will do with artificial intelligence to us. So that begs the question, is it going to be for the better, you know, with the rest of the world? I mean, can we take artificial intelligence and turn it against other people?
Well, I think I hope we can all agree as a country, even in kind of rough political divisive times, that we want to be the global leader on this stuff, right? It matters who gets there first and who sets the standards for technical matters. And I would much rather see the United States, imperfect as we are, but, you know, pretty much the best thing going, let's be honest, be the leaders on that, get there first and set the standards. I would love if there was some competition within the U.S. doing that. I think Elon's providing that with Google's Bard and the Microsoft Chat GPT. Let's get a bunch of competing platforms out there. Each are going to have bias. That's just the nature of things. But I certainly don't want China setting the rules, because you know that's not going to be truthful, and it just won't have the principles that are built into how we live our lives here in America. Yet, I hope that that's the case one day. Those people deserve it. But right now, that's a regime that can't be trusted, and they can't be trusted with AI either. And Europe, of course, Europe, moving to regulate AI with calls for regulating general AI, which is funny. It's the most European thing ever because it doesn't fully exist yet. So, of course, they're calling to regulate it before it actually exists.
Yeah.
So, you know, I worry not about Europe and their tech development being something we don't agree with, which I'm sure it wouldn't be. What I worry is them trying to extend their regulatory regime onto U.S. companies, which we've seen in so many other examples. So I think what the U.S. can do is support their own homegrown AI efforts, protect them from international regulations from places like Europe or China. And there are this is a discussion we should have about should there be any guardrails on that. But I will just tell you that, you know, as brilliant as Elon Musk is, and he certainly is, there's equally informed people who disagree with the amount of risk that's happening here. So it's still an opportunity to be optimistic about this. Doesn't mean Washington shouldn't keep an eye on it, but we shouldn't believe that Washington will magically transform into some rational, effective body just because we're worried about this new problem.
So I guess the bottom line is we'll tell Chuck Schumer and the gang, keep out of it. We're just going to go on our merry way. We've already got a head start in the rest of the world because we are the leaders in technology, I think, still.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so we got a couple paces ahead of the rest of them, and you suggest we just keep on running.
I mean, I think that's right. Listen, the more we learn about it, the more we can protect ourselves from whatever challenges it may bring, right? That's fair. And I'm not saying mistakes won't be made, but let them be made in the private sector so they can be corrected quickly.
Yeah.
That's, you know, once you put a regulation in place, you can't make a U-turn. Those things never get peeled off. So let's keep an eye on it, but let's go forward with some hopefulness.
Makes sense to me, Jessica, and it was a pleasure discussing it with you. You've made me more optimistic about it, and I thank you for that. And look forward, of course, to talking with you again soon.
Oh, my gosh, it's always such a pleasure, you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Jessica. Thank you. All right, Jessica Malugin. You know, it makes me feel good. Maybe artificial intelligence isn't such a bad deal. You know, I'm kind of worried about it.
It is. And we didn't get a chance to ask her about it, but it is in the hands of the right person, like Elon Musk.
Yes.
But what if somebody like Dr. Evil gets a hold of it, you know?
Yes.
What happens
That's
then?
That's what I'm worried about.
Exactly.
And China. As long as we're ahead of them. Yeah. Yeah, Lord. Anyway, don't make me get nervous about it again, Ed. I was just getting comfortable. All right. Anyway, let's take our break. And when we come back, Fox News dumping almost $800 million over to Dominion voting systems. We're going to talk about it.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. Thank you for being with us. So, I watch Fox News a lot. I have to admit, I've got it on a goodly part of the day in my place. And after this settlement was reached, there was very little discussion on Fox News about it. They just kind of kept away from talk. They made an announcement, and then that was it. You know, wow. They didn't go into detail or bring anybody from Fox or any or Dominion. Voting, you know, bring them on and discuss the whole thing with them. At least so far they haven't.
Well, that's like CNN talking about the border.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I mean, there could be some contractual dealings where you can't talk about it. You know, the settlement.
That's
whatever
true.
It is.
That's very true.
You say there was a settlement, and that's it.
Well, here's the deal. Fox News and Dominion Voting Systems reached a $787.5 million settlement agreement yesterday, heading off a trial just after they had sworn in a jury. They were ready to go. Mm-hmm. And then Fox News kind of, that was it, you know. But that's a lot of money.
Maybe I mean, not to Fox.
Maybe not, but even to Fox. That's,
you got to remember, that's what insurance is for.
Yeah. I wonder how much it really going to come out of Rupert Murdoch's pocket.
TV stations, you know, with things that people say on the air, you got to be careful. And, you know, it might not be an admission of guilt. I mean,
they might
I don't know what the exact charge is. I know the whole voting system, they were saying that it was, they were cheating and whatnot.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. Fox admitted, this is, or let me put it this way. John Poulos, who is the CEO of Dominion, said this, quote, Fox has admitted to telling lies. And here is an attorney that was going to represent Dominion. Money is accountability. In other words, they're both saying, you know, Fox is basically saying with its payoff that they were wrong and we were right. And here's what Fox said. Quote, the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. That Fox acknowledged the court's rulings finding certain claims that they made about Dominion to be false. Now, here was what, at least from my vantage point, this is what I wanted to talk about. There are several personalities that were talking about Dominion voting systems right after the election that included Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and Sean Hannity. All three of them are opinion, not journalists. They are opinion commentators.
Right.
And you know that when you watch the show. They make opinion of what's going on in the news. They have every right to say that they think there might be something wrong with a Dominion voting machine.
But you have to make sure that you make it clear it's your opinion.
That's correct.
So what I'm saying is they may have well cheated, but unless you can prove it, then they're going to sue you.
And in a suit, you have to prove intentional slander to make somebody hurt, to hurt somebody. I guess it's like malicious. You have to prove maliciousness, that you are saying these things knowing that it is a lie and also knowing that it's going to hurt them. Because freedom of the press does allow you to give an opinion.
Right.
But if that opinion is intentionally, if you know that you're lying and you're lying to hurt somebody, that's where you can be sued, basically.
Yeah, I don't know why they were questioning Dominion to begin with. I mean, Joe Biden is the most popular president in the history of this country. He got the most votes history of this country.
I've got all kinds of questions about mail-in voting and chain of custody with the ballots and everything else. And, you know, we've talked about the fact that I'd love to see us go back to everybody goes to the poll and you're right there and you drop it in and everybody can, you know, that kind of thing. Where chain of custody is just the guy that pulls it out is the guy that's going to count it. But we're a long way from that now. And we're into this kind of a thing. Here's here's another ongoing statement from Fox. They say, this settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. We are hopeful that our decision to resolve this dispute with Dominion amicably, instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial, allows the country to move forward from these issues. That's written just like a lawyer would write it. But I do think that Fox thought to themselves, even if we can prove that Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham had the right to say these things and should not be sued, we don't want to drag out the Fox brand through the course of a trial and force these people to have to show up in court, and it becomes a big circus, and it makes us and all the other networks and all the liberals are going to be, you know, let's get this thing over with. And I'm wondering if that was a big part of their decision. I think so.
Yeah.
Don't you? They just didn't want an extended throwing stuff up against the wall.
Now, other states, now, mind you, other networks have been caught lying flat out. And they just say, well, you know, we lied, we suck, and we'll move on.
Well, they didn't really.
Well, I mean, look at the CBS guy who lied. I mean, nobody was defamed except himself. You know, and then CNN, a bunch of their reporters got caught lying. Mm-hmm. Even the Weather Channel got caught lying. The guy that was kneeling down in a puddle and said it was waist-high deep water.
Oh, yes, and somebody walks by.
Somebody walks by bouncing a basketball behind them.
Yeah, we know that, you know, yes. All is not what it appears to be when it comes to the media.
They sweep it under the rug and move on. Well, in this case, you couldn't sweep it under the rug because it was a payment due. So you pay it and move on.
Yeah.
Period. They're not going to bring it up. They're not going to bring it up. We all know what happened, folks. We all know what happened. Yeah. You know.
I mean, this Little Dominion. I say little. I never had heard of them until the thing about the voting machines. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of them. I wonder if that's a lot of money to them. You know what I mean? Maybe they're really giddy. They got lots of money.
You know, maybe they'll take that check, go down to Amscot, cash it, and be gone. Who knows?
Now, originally, Dominion sued Fox in 2021. They wanted $1.6 billion. This is like about half.
Well, there you go.
They paid off about half of it. You know? Yeah. I mean, they came out smelling like a rose.
Between the insurance and maybe what Rupert had to pay is probably a parking ticket to him, you know?
It could be, I guess.
And like I say, you just move on.
You know, Fox, it dominates cable news. In fact, it's got some of the most watched programs in television with, some of these people we've mentioned on Fox. I mean, no one's going to cry for them. They're going to do just fine.
Well, the Gutfeld guy.
So he's
supposed to have the number one show?
Number one show at night.
You know, I was telling Lola, he's coming to Clearwater.
Yes, he is.
The new sound, the amphitheater down there.
Is that where he's going?
Yeah. Got your wallet ready?
I won't go. Are you going to go?
I don't know. I got to check my finances.
Hey, that'd be cool. Bring on.
Wait a minute. Front row seat, $2,000.
For Gutfeld?
Yes.
Then I ain't going. I'm not going to pay Gutfeld no stinking $2,000.
You can sit in the cheap seats back a couple of rows or a couple of sections back. It's only a couple hundred bucks. But anywhere from $300, $500, $1,000, $2,000. Front row, A row. It says A row right up front, $2,000.
Wow, I didn't think he was getting that kind of money. I mean, let's be honest. Fox News is a gold mine. A lot of people watch it. They've got great ratings. They're doing something right. They've got like three times whatever MSNBC has or CNN. You know, they got three times the audience. So I don't think we'll have too many tears for them. Okay. Before we go to break, this is an interesting situation. You know, we talk about old, put out to pasture politicians. Dianne Feinstein.
God.
She's about 90, isn't she? She's getting close.
Put out the pasture. She's under the pasture.
Yeah. Senate Republicans last night blocked a request from the Senate Majority Leader to temporarily replace Dianne Feinstein on the Judiciary Committee so that the committee has the numbers to advance President Biden's judicial nominees. Here's the deal. She's been out. Since she's been out, Biden's judicial nominees are not being voted on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great for the Republicans, but the Republicans are playing a little trick.
Okay, so when somebody doesn't vote, nobody votes, correct?
When she doesn't show up, they can't vote. They can't vote. And so the Democrats want to get some sort of a deal going that would allow them to vote. Even though Feinstein, who's supposed to be there, isn't there. Now, they need to talk her into retiring so they can fill her position, but she doesn't want to retire. And so that's the problem.
See, I don't know. I think the person that came in second should fill her seat. No?
I think the Republicans are being a little bit petty.
Why should they have the say on who replaces her? In other words, the people that her state or wherever she's from, those people voted for her. Who was second?
Who was second to Feinstein in California?
Yeah, when she was running for...
Oh, so in other words, we could replace Feinstein with whoever was second.
Yes.
It would be a Republican, wouldn't it?
Oh,
well, I mean, she ran against a Republican and beat the Republican. And they don't want that. They don't want that. They need her Democratic vote.
But that would make sense.
Yeah, it would. Anyway, Schumer introduced a resolution and asked that it be unanimously approved, a method that requires every senator to agree. Excuse me. But Lindsey Graham, a Republican, opposed it and rejected the request. So as long as that goes on, Republicans can kind of hold away these judicial appointments.
Mm.
Well, so there you go. All right. Let's take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about President Biden wanting to veto a bill keeping transgenders out of women's sports.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Work. You lucky devils listening to us. Just imagine how much you are learning when you listen to Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. We are so proud to be here. If you can't listen live, though, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are available on our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks, that's all one word, .com. When you go there, click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows, most recent one right there at the front. You'll know who the guest is and the top 10, you know. Enjoy OurFreedomWorks.com. So, I think this bill, of course it's all politics, and but Congress, which is dominated by Republicans right now, they want to pass this bill called the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. And Biden has promised a veto of this bill. Basically, it would force schools that get federal funding to allow only biological women to play on women's sports teams. And so they're dangling it out there. And Biden says, no way, we're not going to get involved in that kind of a thing, and I'm going to veto it. Now, do you know, Ed, who Riley Gaines is?
Yes.
You do. She is a former All-American swimmer from the University of Kentucky. And I think that was the place where that transgender guy was swimming against her and others and won.
A 230-pound woman?
By the way, he doesn't look like a woman. He looks completely like a man. by the way. Very mannish looking.
Didn't even the courtesy to shave either.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
So, 5 o'clock shadow.
So, of course, she's been making the rounds, slamming Biden and Democrats that would dare force transgenders into women's locker rooms and you know, and sports in these places. She said that, this is Riley Gaines, she says, the president has declared that science, truth, and common sense no longer matter. In opposing this bill, Biden is catering to a radical minority at the expense of women, who are 51% of the population. Equal opportunity, privacy, and safety in our sports should not be controversial. The women who once advocated for Title IX should be outraged, as this goes against everything they fought for. Female athletes of all ages, levels, and sports deserve better. So,
Can you repeat that last part there? All sports?
Females, athletes of all ages, levels, and sports deserve better.
What about males?
Well, males deserve to have their own...
Well, what I'm saying, and I want to be politically correct on this because I'm not exactly sure.
Yes.
If a birthing unit is born with female plumbing and that birthing unit chooses to be male, that would be a transgender male. Is that correct?
I think so.
Okay. If this is so important for their society and their thought of mind, why don't we see those transgender men trying to get into men's sports? Where are they on the football field? Where are they on the hockey team?
Okay.
Why it's so important to them, or is it that they can corner the market by this 230-pound swimmer going against a bunch of 100-pound women?
I don't even know why they would think that the public would not be either laughing at them or disgusted and upset with them for doing it. I mean, I would be so embarrassed.
Did you see
to beat women when everybody knows I'm a transgender?
Right. Did you see what was her name? Jessica
Malugin?
No. The girl.
Riley Gaines.
Riley.
Yeah.
She went to speak somewhere and they attacked her. Did you see that?
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Those people are not normal. Okay. You go to protest, you protest. They're screaming at the top of their lungs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll be physically violent, too. If they can get a shot at her, they will. You know, take a swing at her or something, you know. Yeah. There's no common sense.
I believe she's suing the university, wherever she went to go speak.
Yeah.
Because the headmaster or principal or whatever didn't do anything to try to protect her, but the police did. She had to wait like 3 hours to leave.
Here was my point, though. I don't know that Congress should get involved in this.
No.
I think that if a, right or wrong, if a school or a league wants to allow transgenders to play on the teams, right or wrong, they should be allowed to do it. Now, if the public wants to show up and watch that kind of thing, fine. I wouldn't. I'm not going to pay to see that. And then allow those that don't want transgenders on the teams to also not have them on the teams. You know what I mean? And keep it out of the federal government's job is not to become involved in
all of this. Yeah, they got bigger things to worry about, like AI. You know, maybe something like that.
Like China invading us or, the southern border and all of that kind. They got a lot more to worry about.
But if you think of it, if it doesn't go their way, then they throw a fit.
Right.
The whole Bud Light can. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg is like, what's the big deal? It's just a picture on a can. If it was Donald Trump's picture on a can, you'd be throwing a fit.
Right, but my point is the federal government shouldn't be involved in any of that.
I totally agree, but what I'm saying is, because they have to listen to these people. If you take that woman off the can, then those same people that said, what's the big deal? Now, if you take her off the can, they're going to throw a fit. Yes. And then you say, what's the big deal? They just took her off the can.
I know. By the way, didn't she? She was the only one that got the cans of beer with her picture on them.
Yeah.
They never really marketed that. That would have been something, marketing the Bud Light. Anyway, very interesting. All right. Before we go to our top 10, real quickly, I watched our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning last night, Ed, in the first game of the playoffs, and they beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. Did you watch that?
Yeah, that was a whipping.
It was a whipping.
Yeah.
They scored
seven.
Yeah, what's this final 7-2?
7-2, yes.
Wow, I mean that was a whipping. So
and the Rays won 10-0, I think.
And they're back to winning. So here, are we happy in Tampa Bay right now with our sports teams?
Not unless Brady comes back.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we got to worry about the Bucks, but right now we can be gleeful.
We're all right right now.
Okay. All right, it's time for our top 10. I find this to be a very interesting one that I found. These are the top 10 wealthiest cities in the United States by the number of millionaires that live there, okay? Henley & Partners, which tracks private wealth and investment migration trends worldwide, is the one that came up with this. So these are the cities with the most millionaires. Here we go. Number 10. By the way, I said U.S. This is around the world.
Mm.
I apologize. This is around the world. Number 10 is Sydney, Australia. They have 126,900 millionaires in Sydney. I didn't realize that Sydney had that many. I'm impressed. Number 9, Shanghai. A little Shanghai. 127,200. You know, that's like a free market in that whole Chinese area there. You have to be impressed with them. Number 8. Now, this is interesting. This is Beijing. I didn't realize they allowed millionaires in Beijing. They would have taken your money away. They're communists. They've got 128,200 millionaires in Beijing. Number 7. Boy, there's lots of them in Asia. Hong Kong is number 7. They have 129,500 millionaires. Good old Hong Kong. Number 6. This is the first city in the United States. Number 6 is Los Angeles. Okay. L.A. has 205,400 millionaires.
I don't know how updated, but I bet half of them have left.
That's true. Yeah, I wonder how many are still there. Number 5. Back to the Orient. Singapore, 240,100. Number 4, London. London, 258,000 millionaires in good old London. Number 3, well, they say the San Francisco Bay Area, so that would include like San Jose and Oakland and all of that. 285,000. They got more than Los Angeles. They got more than Los Angeles. Isn't that funny?
Again, I wonder how...
I wonder too. Do you think any of them are posing as homeless people on the sidewalk?
Saving on rent?
There's a lot of eccentric millionaires, you know. Uh-huh. Okay. Number 2. Tokyo. Yeah. Tokyo has 290,300. All
right. You remember in the Bay Area right here when we were worried about the Japanese buying up everything up?
The Japanese like or the Chinese?
No. In the 80s and 90s?
Japanese?
You remember they? Which sports team did they own at first? Was it the Lightning?
Did the Japanese own the Lightning?
Did
no.
Yeah. I got to look that up, I think.
Really?
Somebody had it, and then it was sold.
A Japanese person? Oh, you might be right. All right. What do you think, Ed? What city do you think has more millionaires in the world?
Let's go Switzerland.
That's a country.
Well, somewhere in Switzerland.
Okay, what's the main...
Yeah, 30 seconds in.
New York! New York has 340,000 millionaires. I'm surprised you didn't think of New York. I thought you might.
I was thinking out towards Switzerland somewhere.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, thank you very much for being with us. We will be back on Friday. Be safe and remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
And a happy Wednesday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. This afternoon, clear skies and a high of 84 degrees, an overnight low tonight of 64. Tomorrow's high, a bit warmer, still clear skies, 85 degrees as the humidity seems to creep back in our forecast. Sunset this evening is at 7:59. Now, here's the latest of CBS News.
is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve K.